The Man in the Iron Mask.
Frasquita Carlos has presented herself to Monsieur Sanmar at a most opportune time. Sanmar, having arranged with Cardinal Mazarin that it is better if he takes young Edmond Marchiali out of France, they both decide that soon some Spanish estates will become available because of the marriage and treaty which is to take place between Spain and France. The Cardinal advises that Edmond be taught Spanish. So when Frasquita Carlos, who has escaped from the Spanish court because she has sold some secrets, tells him that she is anxious to find a post of some kind, he suggests that she become the Spanish tutor of his ward. Frasquita sees a painting on the wall, which she believes to be that of Louis XIV of France. She is amazed when she is told that it is Edmond Marchiali. And when she talks with him alone, she addresses him as Your Highness and tells him that she understands.
You speak very strangely, mademoiselle. You said something about incognito.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Don't call me Your Majesty, please. I'm plain Edmond Marchiali. They only call the King Your Majesty.
The King?
Yes.
And you are Edmond Marchiali?
But of course. You seem to doubt me. Do I look as one who might lie?
Oh, no, no, of course not. Naturally, I would never want to displease one such as you. I most humbly beg your pardon, your... I mean, Signor Marchiali.
Not Signor. In France, we say Monsieur.
Once again, my apologies. I've made a very bad start, have I not?
Not really, mademoiselle.
In that case, as I am to be your tutor, let me correct you now. In Spanish, we say Señorita.
Señorita?
Yes. Señorita for the unmarried. And I am unmarried.
I don't know what time, but hours seem to have gone by. There is our star. Are you thinking of me, Edmund? Oh, will I ever see you again? There's some hope, thanks to the kind heart of a grisly old man with a face like a bear.
Well, how goes it?
Oh, it is you, Edmund.
Shh. Call me Warner. One never can tell. They say the wards of the Bastille have the biggest ears of all.
What time is it, Warder?
Time for your supper. Here. And there's a little more than black bread, as you'll see.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Warder. I've been so anxious to talk with you. In the last 2 days, there have been others with you. Did you...
Oh, there's nothing to worry about as far as that's concerned. They took her away from your cell and buried her quietly. As far as the world is concerned, you are dead and gone. Are you feeling a little happier? You sound happier.
Yes, Warder. I think I am. Perhaps it's because I'm recovering a little of my faith. You see, the man I love, he and I had such sublime faith in each other, in the future. And 2 days ago, it seemed that I was to die. Die for some crime of which I've no knowledge. Well, you came along. Oh, Warder, how can I ever thank you? I feel that Providence had something to do with this. Providence sent you so that I might be kept alive. I truly believe now that one day I'll see my Edmund.
Are you trying to persuade me again, little one, to risk my own life?
Oh, no, no, of course not.
Oh, little girl, it'd be more than a risk. It would be a certainty. For if you escape from this jail, they'd come down upon old Edward, and sure as sure he'd lose his head.
Oh, that is the last thing in the world I'd want. You've been so kind already.
Anyhow, I can't stay. There are other warders walking up and down. You've probably heard them. Now, be of good cheer, little one. You never can tell. Perhaps the woman who was in this cell, she might be forgiven for her sins.
What was her name?
Yvette. Remember that. Her name was Yvette. And she was married to a Monsieur Courtois.
Yvette Courtois.
That's right. That's right. And now I must go. Good night, little one. Little daughter.
Good night, Warder. Yvette Courtauld. What was your life, I wonder? What made your heart stop beating here in this cell? Did you lose hope, as I might have done? Oh, I will never lose hope again. He's still there outside. Oh, Edmund, remember our promise as we walked across the hills towards my home one night? You and I and our star. We promised that always when we were apart, we would each look up at that star and think of each other.
Our star. Where are you, Margaret? You promised faithfully that if ever we were parted, if ever we were able to look towards the heavens, that we would think of each other, of our star. Oh, darling. Darling, come back to me, please, wherever you are. Whatever you're doing.
Are you reciting poetry, Mrs.?
Oh,
perhaps I should apologize. I'm intruding on your thoughts. I had no intention. It was warm inside, and I was strolling through the garden, and then I heard your voice. Isn't it the most beautiful night?
Beautiful for some.
Such a bright, starry sky, and only the faintest thread of a moon. The stars are ever so much brighter here than they are in Spain.
Are they?
Yes. You have not been to Spain, Mrs.?
No.
But you are going there, I know that.
One day, perhaps. They're my guardians, yes?
Your guardian knew my former mistress in Spain. You have seen portraits of her, perhaps?
No.
She's very beautiful.
Is she?
Some say that she is the most beautiful member of the royal family that can ever be remembered.
What is that to me? Maria Theresa and I will never come face to face.
Won't you?
Why should we? We live in different lives and different worlds. Thomas, would you excuse me? I would like to go further down to the garden alone.
Yes, of course. Once again, I apologize. I know now that I have intruded.
Not at all. Good night, Signorita.
Good night, Monsieur. What is this mystery? At first I thought I could have sworn that he was the King of France. But now, and yet the likeness. Oh, Monsieur. Perhaps there is a secret here. A secret which may bring more than all the Spanish secrets were ever worth. Perhaps Faustina Carlos is not so unlucky as she thinks. Perhaps her star still shines.
Several weeks passed. And then one morning after the king at Versailles had been roused, shaved, bathed, perfumed, and dressed, he was about to take his usual walk in the beautiful garden surrounding Versailles, when suddenly he saw one of his administrators hurrying towards him. This was Michael Letellier, who signed most of the papers for the king regarding the soldiering and the administration of war. The king, having just reached the terrace leading to the gardens, raised his hand.
Oh, don't come near me, Letellier. Always when you hurry, I know that you have more and more papers for me to sign.
But your majesty...
Leave it all till we get back to Paris. The cardinal will have me locked up for a month of that, I am quite sure.
But your majesty, I fear I must speak of this. It's a letter forwarded on from Paris, because its bearer said it was most urgent, that it must be delivered to you personally. I feel it's my duty to present it to you at once.
What a nuisance you are, Letellier.
It is from a woman, your majesty.
Oh? A woman? Well, then why didn't you say so before? How did you know?
If you will note the perfume. A woman's perfume.
Oh, delightful. Oh, you know my weaknesses, Letellier. Oh, yes, but how an unknown woman was able to have a letter dispatched through my dozens of secretaries, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, I say, Letellier, this is very strange. Oh, don't stand back, Letellier. I want your advice on this.
And what does the woman say?
Your most gracious majesty, I am taking the great liberty of addressing you by letter, because I feel that what I have to impart is for your ears, and your ears alone.
Oh.
Could you possibly grant me an audience? And I promise you, even if I were to forfeit my life, Mark, that to tell you, that I have something of the most vital importance to reveal. It concerns yourself and another, most gracious majesty.
And what is the signature?
Franskita Carlos, the son of my estate, Gascoigne.
So Franskita Carlos, anxious to take advantage of the situation, has not wasted any time. What will eventuate now? Will King Louis XIV give the Spanish senorita audience? The web of circumstance draws these two men so much alike, closer and closer. Make sure you hear the next interesting chapter of The Man in the Iron Mask.